Well, good morning, and it's good to be with you here this morning. I'll admit, you know, that this is something that I'm getting used to, I guess, and I know it's maybe a little bit more out of my comfort zone, but God is good, and He can work in our lives, and He can help us when He can be with us when things are maybe little challenging and out of our hands. So I just hope that this morning you can just hear what God has been speaking to me, and maybe there's a way that you can apply it to your life. This morning I've titled the message With Love, and it's something I kind of came across in my past in some of my devotions here recently, and I've been reading through 1 Corinthians, and came across the love chapter, a very familiar passage, and I think I thought of it in a way, a new, fresh way, and I just thought that I would share that with you this morning. A question that kind of entered my mind as I've been thinking about this passage is, and I think it's a question that's important, and I think that maybe sometimes I fail to see the significance of it on a day-to-day basis. The question is, do I truly serve with a love that is self-sacrificing, passionate, God-honoring, and seeks the good of those around me over my own? And as we look at this chapter, I think you'll maybe see why I asked that question. I think, you know, we can tend to kind of breeze over that chapter as like, yes, you know, love is this and love is not that. But what is really behind that, behind what's in this chapter? And you notice I use the words self-sacrificing, passionate, that agape love that only God can give. So as we start out this morning, I want to share just a couple stories that will kind of help us set the stage for this principle and what I want to share. There was a young man who strove to do everything he could for God. He was a conscientious young man, and from little up, always strove to honor his parents well, to speak only words that were good and God-honoring, and live in such a way that pleased God. As he followed God's principles, he was blessed and prospered in all that he did. As he grew older, the people in his community noticed this bright, disciplined young man and grew to respect him and put him in roles of leadership. He really was a model citizen of the Hebrew faith. This is the beginning of story one. For our second story, I want you to think about a traveling merchant. And this merchant, he made his living selling goods in a large city 65 miles away. He walked to that city. So every 2 weeks, he made the long journey from his hometown to this city to make just enough to be able to provide for his family. Sometimes, over times of special events in the large city, he was able to make just a little bit more to spend his money on extras, which he tried to use wisely. His had been a hard life with many disappointments, struggles, and hardships, and health issues often plagued him or one of his family members. The extra that he made sometimes was often spent on medical-related expenses that were incurred due to these illnesses. Despite these hardships, he chose to worship God and give honor to Him. Since he traveled a lot, he had the privilege of meeting many different people along the road, and some more times than once. Over the years, he observed how some people seemed to have more joy in their life. And as he journeyed the many miles, he pondered the difference he saw in people along the way, and craved to be like those with much joy. One day, the reason for the difference dawned on him. The Lord spoke to him about it. And then and there he decided that he would be, with God's help, the key, God's help, like those people with the greater joy, and intend to share that joy with others around him. And this is the beginning of story two. So, looking at these two stories, we could draw the conclusion that both were living in a way that pleased God. Both desired to be good and were following God's principles in their own way. Like each of us, these two individuals had different life experiences. And that's very much normal. Each one of us has different experiences, and we have different upbringing, and those affect the way that we view life. But did they truly have the secret ingredient needed in order to please God? Let's take a look at one of the most popular passages in 1 Corinthians 13. Yes, this is in the NKJV. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Seems like the Apostle Paul was attempting to guide us to understand that it's not the amazing ability or activity that has value in the eyes of God. If you take a look there at verse 3, you see that really highlighted. You think of someone that gives all their goods to the poor. Sometimes we tend to think of that person, we see someone that does that, and we think, boy, wow, that person is really amazing. And that is amazing. If you give your body to be burned, also there in verse 3. But then the second part of that verse says, if we don't have love, it doesn't really profit anything. And I think that's where I really kind of started thinking about this, that how important this question is. Do I really have God's love in my heart as I go through my everyday life? Is it displayed? And what's the key maybe to having that love present? The fact of the matter is that whatever we do can be done for the glory of God. And we've heard that said here many times. But I believe that can only be accomplished through a life that is truly, fully surrendered to God. And so what I'd like to do this morning is look at maybe three things that could help us to have that love in place that needs to be as we live our life. And because we want to have our things to matter, right? We want to have what we do in our life to matter, and specifically to matter in eternity. We do things in this life, and some things have significance in this life, but we also want to have them to have significance in eternity. So the first thing I'd like to look at is a very foundational truth, but very significant, is to be in relationship with God. In order to truly be effective for God's kingdom, we need to be connected to the author of love. Not just to spend time with him, but to be truly committed and ready to serve and allow his spirit to move in our hearts. God can only work through those who are willing to be led by him and are connected to this true vine. How can someone have true life in him without being connected to the true source? And how can someone have true love without being connected to the source of love? Being in a full relationship with God is integral to having the love we need to live a valuable life. It is what enables us to take on his character, which love would be one of his characteristics, and be what we see in verses 4 through 7. the characteristics that we see there. This is a state of being, and we need to settle into this state of being in relationship with him continually. You know, I'm the type of person that I kind of like to do something once, and I like for it to be done, you know? I like for it to be like, you know, this is, you know, I tie it up with a bow, and you put it down, and it's done. You know, we move on to the next thing. But relationships are not like that. You know, we need to invest in them continually. And I think that it's important for us to realize that with our relationship with God. So important. One thing to be aware of that loving of is that loving well will cost a great deal of self. But self needs to be out of the way in our hearts in order for love to flourish. Like the song that you sang this morning, Paul and Trish. You know, love came and washed. I forget exactly the words, but you know, the love came down and it rained on me. And that grace and love can only truly settle in if we've put self out of the way. The second part that I'd like to kind of hone in here is to prepare your heart to love. So we have our relationship with God, and that's important to continue to work on that. But the second part that I really want to take a look at this morning is preparation. I believe that this is an important part of the process. Once we have relationship with God, we have set the stage to truly love well, and what comes next is the preparation of our hearts to live with love. It's like many things in life, the things that are done well are prepared for ahead of time. You know, if you think about, you know, running a race, if you think about, you know, meal preparation, if you're hosting someone, all those things are done well if they're prepared ahead of time. You know, we can think that, you know, maybe we can do things in the moment, and sometimes we can. There is definitely moments of that where we were able to kind of, you know, pull something together quick in the end, and, you know, it works out. But really the things that are done well are prepared for ahead of time. And I feel like we need to do that in order to love well. We need to prepare our hearts to love those around us and ask God to help us to have his love. We should ask the Lord each morning to fill us with his love so that it would pour out on the ones around us. The heart preparation ahead of time is what gives life to each day's mission. Yes, each day's mission. And I think I fail to see that sometimes, you know, how that each day is an assignment from God, and how that, you know, we need to be ready for this mission. And I just think that, you know, again, you know, as our hearts are prepared, you know, to love, then we can fulfill that mission well. That love helps us to be ready to engage when opportunities around us arise. I guess how else do you think that what else do you think was in place? I guess, you know, if I come back to the chapter here and what Paul was saying, you know, somehow he was observing a disconnect. You know, maybe there was something in the Corinthians that he was observing, or maybe it was otherwise in the church at that time. But I believe that's applicable to us today to think about, you know, that just doing those good deeds and even doing those like, what would you say, maybe like the ultimate sacrifice type deeds, you know, giving your body to be burned, or, you know, giving all your goods to feed the poor. Those are good, but they need to be done with the right perspective in mind. And I think the Lord is the only one that can do that for us, and we need to be ready to receive that. So the third thing that I wanted to look at this morning then is to anticipate the opportunity. Now, you know, we can make decisions ahead of time to decide, hey, you know what, we're going to give X amount to the offering this Sunday, or hey, we're going to go to this benefit supper and we're going to give this much, and you know what, we're going to plan to go ahead and help out at you know, the food bank or whatever it is. But sometimes the opportunities sneak up on us. We don't know that they're coming. And so how do we know if we're prepared or not? Well, let's take a look at this. The opportunities to love like Christ will come. In fact, every day we have the opportunity to empty ourselves and allow God to move in the situations that come our way, the ones that we're not planning on. As we've seen in our passage, envy, pride, rudeness, selfishness, and resentment have no place in the working of love. And I'm referencing verse 5 and 6 in those descriptions. But rather is ready and willing, patient and kind, believes and hopes for the good. That should be our type of response as we meet the opportunities and difficult situations along the way, and they will come. If we have allowed the Spirit of God to fill us and His love is dwelling in us, that will be our type of response. In fact, and I know this is for me as well, in fact, it might even be a helpful gauge for us to determine what state our heart really is in. The fact of the matter is that we get to be a part of God's mission on earth. And I think we just need to kind of settle into that and realize that, you know, we are a part of something big here. And we really want to be a part of it. We don't want to miss out. This is amazing what God's doing on earth, if we can only open our eyes and see it. We can play a significant part. Seeing life as God sees it only enhances the joy in being a part of His mission on earth. And we can't but help to be selfless in it. So anticipate that opportunity. And I think that the Lord will bring them. I know He will. And I think if we have these things, three things in place, you know, we can interact with those opportunities and difficulties as they come well and with love. The young leader continued to grow in favor with his community, and his consistency and integrity in business resulted in him becoming rich. He really had all he wanted in life, and yet something was missing. Something deep inside seemed to plague him and indicate that something was out of kilter. Did God really receive him and his efforts and righteous living? Remember our story? Remember, he was living the way that he thought he should. He had heard of a man named Jesus, who was a talented teacher, and some said he was even greater than that, even greater than a teacher. The young leader decided to question Jesus on the matter, and so we can look at the account in Luke 18 that tells us the story. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "Well, all of these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And so this good man that we saw in the first part when I opened up, he had all those things in place, all those good things that he was doing in place. But Jesus saw one thing that was not surrendered to God. How sad. The problem was not that he was rich, but that his hands were closed when the opportunity presented itself. His heart was taken with his wealth and positions, and there was no place left for God's love to move his heart when the opportunity came. He had not truly been with God and learned of his ways. It was evident in his response. He was obviously following God, the commandments and things that he had been taught, and he was doing them well. And it was obvious because he was prosperous. He was blessed. You know, when we follow God's principles, we are blessed. Maybe not always in financial ways and things, but there is a blessing that comes with following God's principles, you know. And so it was evident through him in the way that he obviously prospered in business and was rich. Or we don't know for sure exactly, but there was definitely some following of God's principles in his life. But that closed hand did not allow God to truly come in and to work. So let's take a look at the second story, the second half, the second story. One day, as the merchant traveled the well-known road, once again from Jerusalem, he came upon a rocky and more treacherous part of the journey. This place was not only dangerous because of its terrain, but also because sometimes there lurked robbers who would beat and rob travelers as they passed by. On this occasion, the Samaritan man observed a man lying by the path up ahead, his body obviously battered. The merchant ran up to the man and immediately noticed that he was a Jew. Oh. He considered leaving him for a brief second, but as we see in Luke 10, his heart was prepared for a greater work. Jumping in at verse 33b, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." How different was this response in comparison, you know, to the rich young ruler? He was ready for the situation, ready for the difficult and the decision point that he had to come to. Here was a man who was in need, who's obviously not, you know, the best of friends. The Jews and Samaritans were kind of at enmity. But it showed in his response how that he had prepared his heart. His heart was tuned to love the way that God does, and was ready to serve well because he was prepared. So now I know that I took some liberty with this story a little bit and added to the illustration of the Samaritan man. But I believe that, I know that this was a story that Jesus shared, not necessarily a true story, possibly a parable. But I believe that in order for the Samaritan man to truly be ready to respond the way that he did in that setting, he truly needed to have his heart prepared and ready. And I just want to kind of leave that heart or that thought with you that, you know, let's be like the Good Samaritan, prepare our hearts to serve with love. I'm just looking at some stories this morning and thinking about, those that have gone before, others that have gone before, you know, and have either been tortured for their faith or persecuted or have stood the test in trials. And a thing that just kind of kept on coming through. I didn't have a specific one that I was going to share this morning, but the thing that just kind of kept on coming through is that their fortitude and, you know, their ability to stand in difficult times and to respond. Like one story that I was reading was that, someone came up to them on the road and asked them if they're a believer. You know, something about them showed that, you know, that something was extra special about them. And, you know, they could have lied about it, but they responded in truth. And God gives us the grace to do that. And obviously he went through some trials after that, but, you know, he was prepared to respond in the way that he should. And so, yeah, I just want to leave this challenge with you. Let's prepare our hearts, and let's arise to the challenge, and let's be a part of God's mission in this world. So thank you. I'll turn the time over to Jake.